Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. So, Wendy, you know, we've been supported by and support Howling for Wolves for as long as we've been doing the show.
Yep, for the past three years.
And it's been an exciting, we've had Joel Wolf on three or four times over the years, and they support us, and boy, we support them, and I know you have a lot of great stories about wolves, our sacred animal.
I talk about wolves a lot on the show, and I'm happy to say that, you know, the Humane Society of the United States also helps wolves and talks about wolves, and we're really, really happy today that we get the privilege to talk to Dr. Maureen Hackett. And she is the president and founder of Howling for Wolves. And she's here with us today, and we're just flabbergasted that we have her on, and we want to hear lots of information that she has.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents, Dr. We're really excited to have you, and we want our audience to know, because they hear the ads, they hear Wendy's stories, they hear Joe, and over the years, and can we just get the background history of how Howling for Wolves started?
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me. You guys are so kind. Well, in 2012, it's all pretty much, I had the background about wolves. I knew how important wolves were for the ecology. I had attended a wolf workshop back in 2004 in Yellowstone, so I had some ideas about how important they were, and I had always thought that Minnesota was really good with wolves, that we would not have a wolf hunt for at least 5 years following delisting. Well, I was listening to the radio in late February of 2012, and I heard there was a committee hearing on a wolf hunt that week, and I immediately went to the committee hearing and realized it was a done deal. There was going to be a wolf hunt. People were not going to know about it, and that's when I pretty much decided the gauntlet was down. I had to rise to the occasion and let the public know that there would be, if the wolf hunt happened, if we could not stop it, that it was not going to go silently. And so that's what happened. Howling for Wolves was started in the idea in late February. By March 29th, we basically got on TV with an ad. We came out with a bang to let people know about this wolf hunting bill, and we tried to get an amendment passed to reinstate the five-year moratorium. I had been involved in politics state level on another initiative years earlier, so I knew my way around the Capitol and managed to get an amendment placed on the floor that session of May of 2012 to try to reinstate the five-year moratorium, which had been taken out the year before in the budget shutdown as part of the negotiations. So what that should tell you is why are people fighting over wolves? Why the big deal? Why would you make part of a negotiation in a budget bill to hunt wolves, you know, to take away that five-year moratorium? And that was always my biggest puzzle. And then I realized, you know, it's all about land use. It's all about extraction industries. It's all about people being able, corporations, and these industries being able to do what they want and not have an endangered species get in their way.
Wow. And
so that's how we started.
And so there was a hunt that year?
Yes. There was a hunt in the fall of 2012. We tried so hard to stop it. We did all kinds of things, including a formal petition to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, where we got them to make statements that really sound ridiculous now. We did a lawsuit based on, with the Center for Biological Diversity, based on the fact that they were doing it on an emergency basis to have this bill pass. We did everything we could think of to try to stop it. And then while the wolf hunt was starting, the Humane Society of the United States came and visited It was Wayne Pacelli as president at the time, or CEO, and we kind of showed what interest was here in Minnesota, and that's when they made the decision in late fall of 2012 to go ahead and pursue the lawsuit, which they submitted at the federal level in the early winter of 2013. They sued the federal government for the delisting on the basis of arbitrary and capriciousness of the science. Wow. So, but we endured two more wolf hunting seasons, 2013 and 2014. And it was in December 19th, 2014, when Judge Burl Howell, I always find that very interesting, went ahead and said, no, this was wrong. The wolves of the Great Lakes are not to be delisted just because as a, they call it a designated species or a segment of the overall species. This was a special designation, meaning that this was a very important population to the overall species. Mm-hmm. And basically they were saying, well, they're recovered in the Great Lakes. They should be delisted. And Burl Howell said, that is not the way the law is read. That is not the point of the Endangered Species Act. And she put them back on the endangered species list. And then we won in Congress. We had to fight immediately in 2015 to keep Congress from delisting the wolves. And there were several areas where we got very lucky. One was when John Boehner pulled the environment bill and quit as the House Speaker later that summer. So there were several wins. And then finally, during the budget showdown of 2015, by that time we had gotten to the president's office, not just us, but other groups, informing them of this tag on likelihood of a bill that we believe was written by Amy Klobuchar, where they never mentioned the wolf, they never mentioned delisting, they never mentioned endangered species. They just said, direct the Department of Interior to put these rules back in place to where they were in 2012. So they just put numbers. So you could never have done a government search for anybody voting to delist the wolves. And basically it was putting the wolf status back to delisting of the late fall of 2011. And that got pulled at the last minute. If you listen to Colin Peterson in an interview I did with Dennis Anderson, and Colin Peterson was on the other side of this ESPN interview, he tells a story of how over the weekend the White House came in and pulled that rider out of the main budget bill of the interior spending. And it was Betty McCollum that is very key to keeping the wolf protected. Everybody needs to give Betty McCollum great thanks. Mm-hmm. She was and is now hopefully the Interior Appropriations Chair. And she was in the room at the time with Nancy Pelosi. So I know these stories because she called me and thanked me for all the emails that we had sent, all the political cover that Howling for Wolves had managed to get to Washington. And it was important for her to be able to say to Nancy Pelosi, look, the people of Minnesota don't want this. And that's right. How we succeeded in keeping Congress from delisting the wolf. And since then, the courts then affirmed Judge Burl Howell's decision to keep them on the list. So they're still on the list. But the Fish and Wildlife Service proposed to delist them again this March, and now that has been delayed. So once again, some other factor has intervened for the wolf, and luck has been a big part of our work, too.
Say, Maureen, can you stay with us in another segment here? We're with Maureen Hackett, who's founder and president of Howling for Wolves, and I'm wondering if you can stay with us for another segment.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. I'm here with Wendy, and we have an awesome guest, the founder and president for Howling for Wolves, Dr. Maureen Hackett. Welcome back on, and we talked a little bit about the history, and we're up to the point of delisting, listing, and delisting, and you know, you're the expert. Let's hear what's going on now. What do we need to stay vigilant on?
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to give you a little more history. The wolf was the first mammal placed on the endangered species list back in 1974, And I think that the wolf, something I learned while doing this, really became the symbol of the environmental movement back in the early 70s, because the decision had to be made. Are you going to protect this animal that we will lose, or are you not? Does the endangered species list have any teeth? And there was a pretty big struggle, including certain wolf experts were pro not putting the wolf on the endangered species list and instead making it a regulated hunt eventually. So it was a real big battle. And then 1978 came, and suddenly we supposedly had all these wolves in the state of Minnesota. And I would ask the listeners to go to the howlingforwolves.org, howlingforwolves, F-O-R, .org, howlingforwolves.org, and click on the front panel, which is, I believe, Miscounting Minnesota Wolves is still on there. We have a 3-minute, 40-second video, and it will tell you the magical creation of wolf numbers, and it's magic, and it's not really based in reality. So we'll go forward from there. So now there's this push to delist wolves, even as early as 1978, 4 years after they're put on the list, based on these magical numbers. And they're still using these magical numbers right up until today, when the Fish and Wildlife Service wants to delist all wolves in the whole lower 48, not just the Great Lakes wolves. But they were going to announce it March 15th, and they have backed down. At least they've put it off for at least 6 months. Now, we at Howling for Wolves will remain vigilant, along with a coalition of endangered species groups, remain vigilant on when they are proposing this delisting again. But when they originally proposed to delist all wolves in the lower, well, in the whole lower 48, there were over 2 million comments that Howling for Wolves also helped generate, and 90% of them, at least 90%, were against the proposal to delist wolves and let the states, quote, manage them. Scientists supported keeping the wolves on the endangered species list and were very critical of the science used. So right now, we anticipate just taking a wait-and-see attitude, but we think we have at least 6 more months. And we will keep everybody informed. We try to keep people informed on our Facebook page, Howling for Wolves, or our Twitter account, Howling Number 4 Wolves, or even our website under latest news, howlingforwolves.org.
Yeah. Dr. Hackett, I know that our audience is very interested in the wolves, and I know that the majority of them really care about wolves. What can they do to help you?
Well, I think right now we have a leader in Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. And they did something that everybody needs to know, and that is when we had a bill passed, this is, so basically if they stay on, their state legislators and their state senators and the governor, and keep telling them how valuable the wolf is to them and how hurtful a wolf hunt would be. Don't even get into numbers, you know, how many numbers are enough wolves or how many aren't or anything. Just let them know. You don't have to come up with science. Just how much you value the wolf. You can tell them all your reasons, but you want to keep wolf hunting banned. You don't want to have, we don't have it banned yet. You want a ban on wolf hunting so that we don't have to constantly fight the people that want to kill wolves. And it's a small minority of people, a very small slice, believe the propaganda that's out there about wolves and deer and wolves and moose and wolf. You know, there's a lot of propaganda out there against the wolf, and it's really false information. So Governor Walz stands with the wolf right now. He told the press when they asked him after a ban on wolf hunting was passed in the state house last spring, that he thought that was probably a good idea, that we didn't need a mass hunting of wolves. And that's good, and we want him to stay there, and we don't need to cull wolves at all. We need to prevent wolf killing, and that will stabilize the population, and the wolves will manage their own numbers. We know how to kill wolves. What we need to do is figure out how to live with them, and that means using non-lethal methods, which kind of gets me to my next topic. But what, if people want to do something, they can support Howling for Wolves with money, because we are doing a lot that costs a lot of money, which I'll go into what we're doing in a moment, and get with their state reps and their state senators, get to know them, get to be a resource for them. Try not to be too antagonistic if they're not listening to you. Just go back for another day. Always feel like you want to be able to walk into the office again. So,
yeah.
You know, you can disagree, but you got to be at a point where they don't say, oh, I don't want to see that person. So you want to just let them know how you feel mm-hmm. or think about the wolf.
I know.
That's really powerful.
I know Peggy Flanagan always talks about that she's part of the Wolf Clan, and Wendy's got a question here.
Well, I don't have a question, but Peggy Flanagan said to us, and she said on the show, that I'm from the Wolf Clan, and when people kill wolves, it's like killing my family. And that's how strongly she feels about wolves. So.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
and that's why. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I met with Peggy Flanagan right before they got elected and said it's really going to be up to the governor's office to really, really make the wolf safe for a long time. And what we need to do is help them understand that we do not want a wolf hunt ever again. They know that, but understand how much support they have for that and help them get it done. A ban on wolf hunting would get it done, but they're up against a Senate that may not pass it now, mm-hmm. but they certainly are in charge of their own Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Right.
And the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is now rewriting the wolf management plan. Now, not everybody on that board is pro-wolf, and we are on that board of advisors, and there are a total of 20 people, but we need to really help the governor's office and our state legislators. And by extension, the governor's office controls the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, know that part of that wolf plan really needs to have no wolf hunting. You know, we had a ban on wolf hunting in the original wolf plan for 5 years. It was never supposed to be considered. And the reason was, hey, they gave them all kinds of ways to kill wolves, too many ways to kill wolves when they lost their federal protections. There are so many loopholes that it became an unregulated hunt statewide, and that's exactly what Judge Burl Howell said, and she was right. And we have to rewrite that plan to limit the amount of wolf killing overall and to get rid of wolf hunting as a solution to anything. And that's where we're going now. We're participating. The first meeting is coming up, but with the fact that we have this COVID-19 going on, I'm not sure the first meeting is actually going to happen.
Right.
But that's what the governor's office is doing. They're having the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources rewrite a wolf management plan, and we're happy to participate. The other thing that's happening is we are introducing a bill with a senator to name the wolf as a state animal,
oh,
a state mammal. And no U.S. state has a wolf as a state mammal or animal. And this has been proposed in Minnesota since 1969 on 7 occasions.
Oh, boy.
The last time it was proposed was in 2000. And at that time, some school children in the year 2000 voted on whether the state mammal should be the wolf, the white-tailed deer, or the gopher. And the wolf received 208 votes. The deer got 129, and the gopher got 80. So the wolf obviously won. But we think if the wolf is a state mammal, just the way the loon is a state bird, you know, nobody would have a loon hunting season. There are loon hunting seasons in other states, but it'll never happen in Minnesota.
Right.
And I remember telling Senator Ingebrigtsen when he said that the sound of the wolf reminded him a little bit of the sound of the loon, and that he, even though some people didn't really like the sound of the loon, he did. And I said, well, that's because you're hearing that because somebody like me stood in somebody's office and beg them to make the loon a state bird. Otherwise,
right.
They had hunting seasons on the loon. So making the wolf as a state animal or mammal really will set Minnesota apart. No other state has the wolf as a state mammal, and it makes sense because we were the last state in the whole lower 48 with our original population of wolves that never went extinct. We were the seed population.
Wow.
So we should stand up for that, and we can stand apart from other Midwestern states because we have that wildlife, the wolf, and that wilderness that can support the wolf. And that's the most valuable thing. That's basically, quote, priceless. You can't buy that.
Right, exactly. Hey, we're here with the founder and president of Howling for Wolves, Dr. Maureen Hackett. We got a couple more minutes. Let's give everybody the last big information that we should be concerned and keep our eyes on, especially with sneaking and delisting and all these things that happen at the late night. What can we do?
Well, I think just keep following Howling for Wolves and you guys for whether the wolf gets proposed to be delisted at the federal level. Keep working with your state legislators to let them know how much you value the wolf and how much you do not want a wolf hunt ever. Those are two really big important things, because even if the wolf is delisted federally, it would be horrible for other states, but we still have a chance in the state of Minnesota. But we want to help the other states too, because the wolves need more than just the state of Minnesota. So we've got to be vigilant on that federal delisting. And then, you know, support us. We are also doing something people may not know about, and that is getting non-lethal methods once again funded through the Minnesota Department of Ag by doing some of our legislative work. And we just had a hearing to renew the non-lethal funding program, where farmers are actually using methods to deter wolf livestock conflicts so that wolves don't get killed in response.
That's so awesome. I want to thank you and so much for being on, and with all the information that you have, and also for what you do, because it's very wolves are sacred to Native Americans, and it's a huge deal, and it's part of our ecosystem that we need to keep. Thank you so much for being on.
You're very welcome, and thanks for having me. You guys have a great day.
Right on, and thank you for all your support to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.